Love, power, and peace to you from God's good and gracious Spirit. Amen. Soon after we moved into our house in Cheltenham, we learned that if it rains a lot quickly, the front patio will be underwater. 3 to 4 inches. So, Don and I tried various flood mitigation strategies. Cleaning out the gutters helped. We dug a trench around the patio so the excess water would go there. That helped, but not enough. So then we dug another trench, a really long trench, on the only side of the patio where we could build a trench. And we dug it so that it was deeper the farther away it got from the patio. Then we put a PVC pipe in there and stones, large stones, around the pipe, and then with slate on top of it. That really helped. Our goal was to guide the water so that it would go away from the porch, away from the front door. Sometimes you can guide where water is poured, but you can't determine the exact path. That is why when we pour water, it's best to have a pitcher with a little lip to it for pouring. It works so much better than just pouring out of a round rim. When each of us was baptized, the pastor, in addition to putting the water on us, the pastor also called on God's Holy Spirit to be poured on us. God's living Spirit was within the water in our baptism. And God's living Spirit makes the water's path even less predictable. Maybe that Holy Spirit that was poured out on us in baptism has seemed a little tame since then. Maybe it has seemed like a quiet spirit, not a geyser, not at all out of bounds. Sometimes God's Spirit is quiet, but often it is not. And if we haven't heard any outbursts of strange languages, perhaps it is not because they haven't happened. Perhaps it is because we have been paying attention elsewhere. The Holy Spirit poured out on the disciples of the risen and ascended Jesus on that day of Pentecost was a hugely unpredictable spirit, one that could flood without a couple of hours of steady rain. That spirit was marked by a sound like a violent wind and tongues like fire. A spirit that moved the disciples out of the house and into the streets of busy Jerusalem, where they started speaking in languages they had barely even heard before. The Spirit had a purpose to bring the news of what God had done in Jesus to all those from different nations who were gathered to worship God at the festival of Pentecost. So that, as Peter proclaimed in the last sentence of our first reading, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's Spirit is indeed full of God's purpose. As Paul explained in his first letter to the Corinthian Christians, the Spirit's gifts are given for the common good. No matter what startling gift the Spirit has given you, or no matter what relatively boring gift the Spirit has given you, God does it with a purpose. I have seen in you six confirmands many of the gifts of God's Spirit, and not just the ones that Paul lists in his second reading. I've witnessed your eagerness to help. What a difference that spiritual gift has made in the life of this congregation already, and I'm sure in the other places in your life. The gift of encouraging someone else. The gift of curiosity. The gift of figuring out the implications of our faith in tough situations. The gift of speaking in public and the gift of knowing what to say in private. Those who know you have been blessed by the spiritual gifts you have shared. And as you become an adult member of St. Matthew's upon your confirmation, we will rely on you to use your spiritual gifts for the common good of this congregation and for the common good of the whole world. I particularly think of the spiritual gift named by Paul in verse 10 of the second reading, the discernment of spirits, which you and all active confirmed members of St. Matthew's will be using when you vote to call a new pastor, hopefully soon-ish. No pressure on the call committee. I don't have any place to go, just, you know, but God's time. In the second reading, Paul writes that God and God's Spirit activates our spiritual gifts. The word translated as activated comes from the Greek word energeo. You can hear our word energy, energizes, in that Greek word. God's Spirit energizes, powers up the spiritual gifts that the Spirit has given for the common good and when we most need them. When wisdom is needed, the Spirit energizes that gift. When prophecy is needed, the Spirit energizes that gift. You may have a spiritual gift that you don't even know you have because God's Spirit has not energized it in you yet. But that is part of the power that God pours out on us and that we cannot predict. But I must warn you confirmands, and the rest of you too. The gifts of God's good and gracious Spirit are not always energized at times that are convenient. I keep a bucket in a corner, but when water drips from the ceiling, it doesn't necessarily always fall in that bucket. So I have to move it. I think of those men on the train in Portland who got between the white supremacist hater and two dark-skinned teenage girls, one in a hijab. The spiritual gift of love and protection of one in need was energized in them for the good of those girls and for the common good. But for those three men, In their confrontation with evil, it did not go well. They were stabbed. Two died from their wounds. One uttering these last words, "Tell them, I want everybody to know, I want everybody on the train to know, I love them." That kind of love can only be from God, can only be energized by God. I pray that in a similar situation that God would activate and energize such love in me, that I would respond in a similar way, in a way that would fulfill the promises I made at my confirmation, to proclaim the good news of Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. There can be a price for responding to God's Spirit. Even a price such as the accusation of drunkenness. And each of us has to discern if we will squash the energizing of our spiritual gift, whatever it may be, or if we will let God's Spirit work that gift in us for the common good. Our God has promised good to us. To the disciples who deserted him on the cross, the risen Jesus breathed his Spirit and gave them his peace. God's deeds of power were made known on the day of Pentecost and throughout the centuries since. We cannot predict the energizing of God's Spirit, nor the gifts God's Spirit has given us for the common good. What we can do as baptized children of God is to nurture God's Spirit and encourage it to flow freely. We are not to limit to one channel the stream of God's exploring Spirit, and we certainly are not to hold God's Spirit behind a dam constructed of our own shoulds. God's Spirit of love and power will do what it will. May it be so. Amen.